BFT on the BFT Radio Network. Judah Nubian for John Canzano. If you missed any part of this show, you can find it on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you find your podcast. Just search John Canzano BFT and you can find that. Our next guest is a co-host and producer of That's Gold Show and of the College Hoops Overtime Betting Podcast. He works at VSiN, a proud UW Oshkosh grad. He writes in the NY Post on occasion too. But, you know, we used to host a podcast together ourselves. And the Pacific Rim Podcast, powered by 1029750 The Game, just a couple of short years ago. This is Greg Peterson. He's on Twitter at GUnit_81. Greg, it's been a minute, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, it has been. I am doing great. How about you, Judah?
I am great, man. I'm sitting in the same studio that we spent so many hours talking college basketball a couple of years ago.
Yes, that is so awesome. I still remember those days. A little bit before I was talking point spreads and everything like that, but always good to be talking some quality college basketball.
Your Twitter timeline, man, you're so active on there. You're talking point spreads. I was curious, you know, how naturally did it come to you to learn, you know, the ins and outs of Vegas and having to focus on the point spread aspect of college basketball? Was that a natural thing for you to learn, or did that take a little bit of time to get used to? Because you were so good at the informational side of things, the analytical side of things, and honestly, the relatability side of things with all the coaches and players that you knew. Did the Vegas angle come naturally as well?
It did, because the big thing is whenever I take a look at some of these games, I think in my mind, I think this team should win, and the score should be this and this. So when you translate that over to Vegas, it's like point spread. The total is 140, and they think that Oregon's going to win by 6 points or something like that, just to throw out there a random example. And if I think in my mind, I have Oregon winning this game by a count of 75 to 65, they're pretty on with that in regards to the total. I think that they might be a little bit off the spread. That's where you're going to make your bet and everything like that. So it actually is something that has come quite natural for me.
You know, what about this Pac-12 conference, man? I mean, I know it's one of the, it's not exactly a barn burner out here. What has been the narrative out in Vegas of Pac-12 college basketball this year?
Everyone has said that the Pac-12 is just a big massive disappointment because I'm out here on the West Coast too. And to be honest with you, there's a chance that the Mountain West might get as many bids into the NCAA tournament as the Pac-12, if not even more. Say that Nevada and Utah State both lose in the Mountain West tournament and you get some random team like New Mexico or something like that that pulls a stunner and they're able to win the conference tournament. You can see three teams into the NCAA tournament from the Mountain West and you might see only two from the Pac-12. I do think that Washington and Arizona State likely safe for the NCAA tournament, though I will say, big dark horse out there in the Pac-12 tournament, in my opinion, I know you're probably going to get to it, probably is the Oregon Ducks. They've been really rounding into form. They do have the pieces. They do have a lot of talent. Obviously, not having Bol Bol for much of the year has been a big woe for this team. But you also have, in my opinion, the best coach out there in the Pac-12 and Dana Altman. And I'd much rather stick my chips into the basket of Dana Altman rather than someone like Murray Bartow or over there at USC. You've got just a whole mismatch of players right now. It's just not very good out there in the Pac-12, to say the least.
Yeah, Oregon definitely has our attention. And it's been defensively, Greg. They've been so good. I think in each of their last five games, they've held the opponent to 61 points or less. And you know Dana Altman really well and his type of programs. Once they get the defensive element going, that's a hard team to beat. And even as a sixth seed, I'm kind of with you. If I were to bet right now, I would take Oregon to run the table and win the automatic qualifier in the Pac-12 tournament.
I think it's very interesting. Yeah, I think that Colorado has a good shot at it as well. We've seen Colorado be able to step up. I know that they had 23 turnovers in that game against Cal. They were able to skate by a count of 56 to 51. But if you're looking at the two hottest teams in the Pac-12, it's hard to argue that it's right now Colorado and Oregon, two teams that right now find themselves on the outside looking in the NCAA tournament. And what it comes back to is good point guard play. McKinley Wright IV for Colorado right now, playing some sensational basketball. He's really done a better job of being able to knock down threes, does a good job being able to facilitate the offense. And Peyton Pritchard has struggled for much of the year for three-point range, but seems like he's finding his stroke once again. He has an assist-to-turnover ratio greater than 2, so he runs an efficient point guard spot there. And what both these teams have as well is some big men that's able to shoot the three. Lucas Seward of Colorado, right now averaging right around 10 points per game, good three-point shooter. And then you've got, obviously, Louis King and Paul White for Oregon. Both these guys are versatile stretch players. They're able to knock down threes, so I really like that. And then you also have to like for Oregon, Victor Bailey coming off the bench. He's right now giving the team right around 8.5 points per game for the year, but seems like he's really emerging. He's been a 40% three-point shooter.
Sounds like you would take Colorado against Oregon State in the quarterfinal today?
I am on Colorado in this spot, yes. Oregon State has some very good players, but let's face it, we both know that Oregon State just doesn't necessarily have the depth. Last time these two teams played was out there at Colorado in Boulder. Oregon State was able to get the 76-74 win. One thing we know about college basketball is that the revenge angle is absolutely huge. I think that Colorado is going to be out for blood. This is a little bit of a different team. And the big concern I have with Oregon State is that they're just very hit or miss from three-point range. Trace Tinkle just fills it up for this team. He's averaging 20 points, 8 rebounds, dishes out 4 assists. It's only about a 32% three-point shooter. You got like what the Thompson brothers do. They average 30 points per game. Question is, how good are they going to be from three? And sometimes they get a little bit too turnover happy as well. It just feels like Kyler Kelly down low, who's one of the top shot blockers out there in all of college basketball. He hasn't been as stout defensively in recent games as he was at the beginning of the year.
Greg, it's never too early to talk about potential bracket buster teams. I'm looking at like double-digit seeds that are going to be in this tournament. A team like Murray State, I know they've got like an NBA caliber player, don't they? Is Murray State a team that you would say, hey, regardless of who they play, you might have to watch out for them busting some brackets?
And the guy you're referring to is John Morant, a guy that pours in 13 points, over 10 assists. Now, the big concern you have with John Morant, he turns the ball over a lot. He averages over 5 turnovers per game, but that's because he has the ball in his hands so much. And if you take a look at the backcourt of this Murray State team, he's supported by Shaq Buchanan, a guy that also pulls in 14 points per game. You've got Daniel Cowart down low that's able to pull in 6 rebounds. Problem with Murray State is they don't really have a whole lot of depth, and this team is not going to be a double-digit seed, but they're certainly a mid-major that's probably going to be more around, I would say, a 7 or an 8 seed. The team you really want to watch for is Wofford. They've got 4 guys on the roster that shoot over 40% from three. They also have a prolific scorer in Fletcher McGee. He shoots over 40% from three, pours in over 20 points per game. And then you've got a 6'7", 250-pound big man in Cameron Johnson that's pulling in 8 rebounds, gives his team 15 points, shoots over 40% from three. This guy is absolutely sensational. Wofford is a team that went on the road and knocked off North Carolina last year as a 25-point underdog. And then this year, they did it again, going to South Carolina. They won that game on the road by 21 points. Oh, by the way, South Carolina, 4 seed in the SEC tournament. So this is a team that has backed it up. They went completely undefeated out there in SoCon play, won the SoCon tournament. I really think that Wofford is a team that is going to be able to bust some brackets, perhaps can make a run to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament.
We're talking to Greg Peterson, VSIN, Vegas Stats and Information Network, College Hoops Overtime Betting Podcast as well. Find them on Twitter at GUnit_81. Gonzaga's loss to St. Mary's, Greg. How much stock do you put in that, given that the Zags didn't really have a whole lot to play for? Do you still expect them to be a 1 seed in the tournament seeding, and should they still be a Final Four favorite?
I still do like Gonzaga going into that game. I had them as my number 1 team in the country. I did devalue them a little bit because of it, but what you got to like for Gonzaga is that they now have Killian Tilly back in the lineup. We saw him look good against Pepperdine coming off the bench, being able to hit a couple threes. Like you said, the motivation factor for Gonzaga may not have been there, and their previous low scoring mark was a game that they had against Pacific in like mid-January. I believe that was 67 points, so I feel like that was just an outlier for this team. They still have the most efficient offense out there in the country. They've got a point guard that's played in the national championship game in Josh Perkins. You got to think that Zach Norvell Jr. is going to be better than the under 20% shooting that he had in that game against St. Mary's. And I do think that it's very interesting that St. Mary's wins that conference tournament game, because that is a fifth thief right there. St. Mary's otherwise does not get into the NCAA tournament. But with that said, when you get into the question of 1 seed, it all depends on how this ACC tournament plays out. Because if Duke is able to win it, with Zion Williamson being healthy, Duke likely gets the number 1 seed. I just don't know if that's going to be the case, because I think Zion Williamson is sort of going to be like a baseball player with a rehab assignment, I guess you could say. I think that he's just going to get tuned up for the NCAA tournament. We saw Virginia be able to pull off a nice comeback against NC State this past afternoon. They were able to really turn on the Jets in the second half of that game. And I do think that if Virginia wins the ACC tournament, you're looking at UNC, Virginia, whoever wins the SEC tournament, and Gonzaga being the number one seeds. But you can't count out Michigan and Michigan State out there either in the Big Ten.
Last thing for you, Greg, and didn't mean to bury the lead, but Wisconsin Oshkosh has made the Division III Final Four this year.
Yes.
As has, for the first time, I believe, my alma mater, the Wheaton Thunder, and that is your national semifinal matchup, man. It's our two D3 colleges going at it.
Isn't that so insane right there?
It's crazy.
And who would have ever guessed that possible? Because these teams actually play quite a bit in the non-conference slate as well. They play in, like, soccer and everything like that.
Yeah.
Very closely knit, because you just don't find too many D3 programs out there in the Midwest. So these two teams do battle quite a bit. And the UW Oshkosh has had a magical run. They lose their coach in the summer, Pat Yuckum, who decides to sign at another Division III power in Wash U. Matt Lewis, who used to actually be a little bit of a graduate assistant over at Tulane, he's a guy that I used to spend like every day at the rec center in UW Oshkosh with, takes over as the interim head coach, leads this team on a run. UW Oshkosh has been a very good three-point shooting team. This is back-to-back years that UW Oshkosh is going to the Final Four. And I still remember my first year of college, 2011-2012, the UW Oshkosh men's and women's basketball team had a combined one conference win. Oh, how UW Oshkosh has risen from the ashes, my friend.
They have indeed, man. But, you know, my Thunder, Aston Francis, he put up 62 points in the Elite Eight, Greg. You're going to have a tough time stopping him.
This is probably going to be a first team to 90 point win sort of game. We're going to see a lot of points. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Can you bet D3 games?
The over under very, very high, and Iowa State just hammered the over.
Are D3 games bettable?
The Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games, they were bettable on some various offshore websites. I know it might be a little bit risky, but typically they pay out. So I will say that.
Regardless, man, we got to make a deal on this. You know, our alma mater's in the Final Four. We got to get a little side bet going. So you'll be hearing from me as that game gets closer.
Oh yes, I am looking forward to it. Hashtag Hail Titans.
Hashtag Let's Roll. Greg, it's good to talk to you, my friend. Thanks for taking the time, and keep killing it in Vegas. I love your podcast. It's getting great ratings and reviews, and you're just crushing it, my friend, so keep it up.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you, my friend. Thank you.
There is Greg Peterson, Vegas Stats and Information Network. Always good to catch up with GP and get his thoughts on everything, and always intrigued to see what Vegas thinks about the Pac-12, because it's still got an infatuation given the amount of parity that exists in Pac-12 basketball right now. And as you look up and watching a little Oregon State, Colorado, that one just underway. Beavers down early, but they're going to try to piece this together. All right, final segment of the BFT. We'll do a little punch at audio as we take you the distance here on the BFT and the BFT Radio Network.